and truly a grateful recovering addict named Felicia. The nervousness and the stomach flipping was starting to subside, and I started feeling a little bit comfortable till he just called me up here to this mic. It's truly an honor, because for a long time, I would sit in the chairs like that and go to meetings, to the marathons and the convention, and be like, one day I want to do that. But I kept coming around, but I could get clean, but I just couldn't stay clean. So when the person asked me to do this meeting, I kind of wanted to say no to something, said yeah. Then when he gave me the topic, and all I could think about was this little girl going to school with this little blue uniform on. And that vision's still been there. It just took me back to a little girl. Because what I would hear, the things that was going on in my head is, you're not good enough, or you can do better than that, or you're going to be just like this person, or you're just like him. So for real, I really didn't know who I was. Because I always tried to fit in, to be like somebody else wanted me to be it my mother, family members, or the friends, you know, somewhat made to feel different, because I had to go to, I couldn't go to the school the kids went to in the area that I lived in. So they told me when I came around here, because I read literature, right, but they said drugs is just a symptom of my disease. And I started using, drinking the alcohol and smoking the weed, popping the V's. Real early on, sedating, because I just didn't like how I felt. Man. I was introduced to this program, 1989, and some people told me, they said, you got stripped. Change you must, the guy you will. And I wanted it. And I did some of the things that they said I did. I did some step work. I did some service. I went to meetings. You know, I was the model resident in the treatment centers and the transitional housing that I lived in. And, I couldn't change some of my behaviors. And then I had a geographical cure, right? You know, I grew up in the city of Philadelphia. And I've been from Philadelphia to Maryland to D.C. And my last run was in the state of North Carolina. And the seed had been planted in 1989. But I really thought I was different and unique than everybody else. The old timers would say, we did this for you, you don't have to do this no more. I mean, a lot of that stuff did not click. And I guess I'm getting nervous because I'm stopping and I'm starting. You know, I ask God just to use me as a vessel to share a message of hope. And I wanted it so bad. But I could seem to forget, y'all. Every time I would go out and use and come back and pick up another keychain, they said, why you gonna use? I couldn't think why. You know, I couldn't seem to remember a lot of the times the pain, the way that I felt. And each time that I would go out, my get backs was always a little bit harder. It wasn't as easy. Then I had started burning a lot of bridges. But on my last run, for real, I remember it quite well. And I was all alone. I was in a whole lot of pain. I was feeling a whole lot of guilt and shame because I was pregnant And I just ain't want to use no more. I ain't want my kids to have to deal with the abuse of other kids or your mama crackhead. And I just wanted to like me and know who I was. And I would always go run and use when it came to doing the fourth step. Told you I ain't want to change some of my behaviors. And my clean date is March 26, 2004. And man, it's been a journey. Because I like his lead. I ain't want to change. I ain't want to strip. I ain't come around here in the beginning get hanging out with y'all sisters. I hung out with the brothers. Because I could click with them. I could identify with them. They said, Felicia, early on, you need women hang with women. But see, I'm a woman, so I know the things that I'm capable of, and I know the things that I have done, and I'm still capable of doing it today. But I started becoming just a little bit vulnerable, and I kind of learned from some of my experiences that my way wasn't working because I kept bumping my head, I kept using. So I seen that I couldn't do this. So I started taking some suggestions. And to the best of my ability, I tried to stay out the way. I just knew one simple thing they told me, if I just don't use, it'd get better. If I don't pick it up, it wouldn't get in me. And it was a lot of days I balled up in a knot and I wanted to get high, I just couldn't get high. Because I knew it transformed me into this other person that I just ain't like. And it wasn't, I just ain't like her. I just knew from being around here, off, in and out, in and out, in and out, that it was another way. And some periods of time, I kind of liked the person that I was becoming, but I self-sabotaged. You know, a lot of people seen some stuff in me I couldn't see in me. They say, stay out of relationships. You don't say that nowhere in the literature. But for me, it worked. Because before, I said I was in relationships. Or I was a sidekick. And I was like somewhat all right with that. Because I felt that less than of myself that I was the sidekick. But then I came around here indirectly, I was tricking in recovery. Because he was somebody else's man. And I had a little couple of dollars in my pocket. I was able to get my nails and my hair done. Until his sister told me, she said, I'm baby. You a walking garbage can. You still tricking in recovery. So I had like a sugar daddy. I kind of like sugar daddy, right? And when I came back, it was like, okay, you got to do something different. Now, I knew I wasn't going to get this man no more. So it wasn't no need for me to continue taking this man's money from him. So I had to start with some little things, and I told him, I was like, I can't take your money because I don't have no intentions on being with you no more. And that's still relationships that I'm talking about, for real. And I had to become self-supporting because I had a taste of it. Before I used again, I had a little time under my belt. It was just clean time for real. And that was like real hard. Because my mom and daddy took care of me. Then after my daddy died, it was men that took care of me. Oh, I learned how to hustle to support my habits. Be it any way I could. And so me becoming responsible to take care of me, and I had two kids by then, y'all. Because I had some time now. I had a couple years clean, and I decided that things were going quite well for me. Self-destruct. My disease don't care nothing about that. It's cunning, baffling, insidious, and told me I was kind of well. Well, no, to be honest, for real, I had a reservation. I thought I could go back and use. Things were going so well, I could go use, and I wasn't going to hit no bottom again. And, I just knew I needed to learn how to stand up where I fell at, and I had to do something different. And it wasn't comfortable a lot of days because I had two kids. Self, disease was on my back, and it's so much easier to do what's most comfortable. You know, the literature tells us we treat as a habit. And it was easy because I'd done that. I lived that lifestyle that way for so long. Somebody else doing for me and taking up the slack. And we call them crutches and enablers. And it's time, they said, it's an old slogan, right? It said, I can't, he can't, so let him. And a lot of days in the beginning, that power greater than me was the two babies that I looked at. Papa greater than me with some people in this room that continued to stay clean. And I seen them go through some stuff. I said, shit, that shit, they can do that shit, I can do that shit too. He said, no matter what, you ain't got to use no more. And I just said the Thursday prayer, a whole lot of days, a whole lot of minutes. Take my will, show me how to live. And then some days it still gets scary now in this process because I've been asking, praying, help me to stay out the way. And the more I ask the God of my understanding to help me stay out the way, more shit start coming. Life is showing up, and I'm grateful for the foundation that this time when I came around here and having some women and not wanting to run no more from the little girl I told y'all about that people used to tell her that she ain't good enough. Or because I ain't had the long ponytails like the other little girls that sat in the classroom. Or that my stomach is a little bit bigger, or I got the flat butt, and I don't have to wait, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because see, I still, at times, can have those insecurities around here. But back then, I used to sedate them. I couldn't run no more. So it was like I had to sit down and do a four step. And I had to look at some stuff, where some stuff came from. And before I got there, God gave me some courage. Because for real, I used to walk around with my head down, even in here sometimes. You know, me finding a God of my understanding gave me some confidence. And I had some assets. Because for real, I really believed some of that stuff. You know, I was real good out there doing some of the stuff I did. But it wasn't good because I was ashamed of it because I had Elliot's names. Then I had to sit down with somebody and share some stuff. Like I told you, I've been a whole lot of places. And one place that I went to, because see, I be back and forth, but I wind up on Lehigh Avenue. And it's whatever, transitional housing, but that was one of the best treatment centers I went to. And in this room, it looked like a garage. But it was some sisters in there, and they was getting gut level on us. And they were sharing from the heart about some nasty, crazy stuff they used to do. I was like, wow. So it allowed me to know that some of the things that I've done, some other people did too. So I was able to start exposing myself. But there's another slogan they say around here, we got to uncover, to discover, to recover. And I had to look at some issues with relationships, with my mother, with my father. You know, a sister asked me one day, she said, Who's the most important man in your life? And my mind drew back to the negative. And I said, oh, my son's father. But after a period in time, I had to realize it was my father that made the major impact on my life. And my mother. And where I'm going, I don't know where I'm going. But I just know the day that, it's been a journey. Because it still surfaces. Because the day I know just a little bit of who I am and where some stuff stemmed from. You know, I had the opportunity to spend some time with my grandmother. So with me being clean at this period in time, spending some time with my grandmother, I kind of got a better understanding of my mother. And doing some step work, it gave me a better understanding of who I am. And I'm so much similar to my mother. And I love her. I just know that the cycle has to stop. You know, I'm staying up here right, and I'm a little nervous because it's the first workshop, man, I have ever done. And all I can do is share my experience, just in hopes. I even came around here, back around here. I suffer with the disease of addiction. You know, the dope be gone, but I still can do some stuff to self-sabotage myself. And this has been a real good weekend for me because I've been through some things. Some of it I brought on myself through some unmanageability. Some of it I have no control over. It was just other people's decisions. I was given the opportunity to come down here and spend some time with me. Because for a long time, I can give to y'all. I can be the good mother, the good friend, the good girlfriend. I can love y'all more than I was learning to love myself. And I'd be losing me. And, man, I walked on that beach this morning, and you talking about tears rolling, and I ain't understanding why they rolling. Yes, I do understand. We talking about wanting some peace. Having it, you know. I had a sister in my life that told me my life had been so abnormal that it had become normal. And today, some stuff I'm normal. Things, this program has allowed me to learn how to live. Learning how to be a mother. Because it'll tell me I ain't shit. You ain't no good mother. You ain't no good friend. Going back to virtue your old behaviors. Going back to the lifestyle. Or I can get caught up in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and lose my own self-identity here because I want to be like that one over there, or like looking outside, man, at all the different people. I mean, all the different flavors, all the outfits, all the cars, all the jewelry. I like that shit. I get lost in it. How about God stripped me about 2 years ago? He didn't take everything from me. He let me have a little bit of stuff, but he said, "I'm on my side. You gotta go internal, baby. We want you just to go a little bit deeper." The man left and want me to be the sidekick. I spent the money up, spent some bill money up because I'm trying to fill a void. And I ain't talking about no drugs. That shit was hurting. Then I had, like you said, daily meditation is the step seven. 6 and 7 for real, but it was on 7. You know, I got these defects that sometimes I come around here and I want to portray this image. Like everything is so good, you know, it's real jolly. You know, I live in this brick house. I mean, this glass house. And he stripped me. You know, because self-pride killed me. I ain't want nobody to know the financial hole I put my damn self in with 10 years clean. With the money I got coming in my damn house. And got to get humble and be like, you know, I done paid the bank $1,000 overdraft, y'all. I run around without no car insurance. How my sexuality will be questioned because I'm lonely because the man gone. I don't want to be no hoe and females looking at me and winking the eye or me thinking, damn, do I want to do her? Like having to get honest with some people, but really get honest with me. They tell me in the first step that I can't do this by myself. See, I've missed a lot of stuff in the step work, and each time you go back, you see some stuff that life ain't, it's not all happy-go-lucky, bumpy roads, and it's bumpy roads and potholes. And I'm just power phrasing it, and I gotta ask for some help. And some days it's hard to ask for help, cause I've been here for a minute. I got some information, and you know, I apply these spiritual principles, and I do, cause I ain't in jail. I'm learning from my experiences. I got some money in the bank. I ain't spending trying to buy no damn outfits to come down here to look real cute. You know, some people gave me some things this weekend, and I was able to accept it and not, like, hinge a little bit. Because I'm trying to move again. And I know the money that's in the bank, I can't touch it. Because when the opportunity arises, I better be able to get the people the security deposit and the 1 month's rent. Until a certain, and having to be all right that I'm allowing some people to help me. You know, it was, peace. I'm just sitting out here looking at the water. Somebody said, just find a vocal point. And these boats just keep running down this that back window. But I have endured no matter what. I can't use no more. I can't use me no more. I can't use other stuff no more. Even in this process, I can't let my defects and my shortcomings kill me, because they will. And where I'm at is learning how to forgive me. This time. Because I've done some stuff to self around here. And it's alright, you know. I'm a human being and I fall short. And I ain't perfect. Try to treat people the way I want somebody to treat me. I may not get it from the people that I think I'm supposed to, but just like I said, the blessings that I have received this weekend, it ain't come from who I may wanted it to come from or expected from at that time, but I have it. This program has allowed me to have a job, and my self-esteem be attacked when I'm in there with them little young girls and they got all this paperwork because they from school and they talk real intellectual. My self-esteem can be attacked. The God of my understanding in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous has gave me some, make me feel better and keep my head up and remember where I came from. Most important, I must always remember that I'm an addict, because it took a long time to accept the fact that I had the disease of addiction. That's why I took so long to stop using. Because I ain't want to believe that something like that could defeat me. Because I really think that sometimes I am the great I am. I'm God. No, you're not. Move out the way. And, man, I got a whole different respect for this program. We talk about gratitude. They say a grateful addict will never use. I'm just grateful for the gift of life and allowing this transforming process to take place. Some days it's not easy. You know, I'm glad they told me, listen to the message, not the messenger. Because it's been a couple of days, sitting in a couple of these meetings, I wanted to walk out too, because I ain't like what the person was saying. I'm like, And it's all right. I don't know how much more time I had, but I'm just like, still stomach flipping. I'm grateful for the sisters that's out there to support me, my friends, and other ones that continue to sit here. I just know that I ain't got to use again. The most important thing they told me was so simple. If I don't put it in me, I won't use. Work the steps, Alicia. And to the best of my ability, that's what I've been doing. And some people still see some stuff in me that I sometimes question. But they told me this is a lifelong journey. And layers will continue to fall off as I go, you know. I ain't got too much more to say. I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to be down Ocean City, to nurture me, to be in the room all alone. Because for real, I've been sleeping on my mother Chase in the basement, right? And it's been uncomfortable. Because I had got real comfortable with sleeping in on chairs for a long time. So when I got the opportunity to start sleeping in a bed, I had to learn how to sleep in a bed. But now I'm back sleeping on my mother's chaise in her basement. And sleeping in that bed last night, man, I slept like a log. And it felt real good. Even to that, you know, that's a whole nother level too, of some self-acceptance and some humility. Being back in my mother's house. And it ain't do that because I wasn't paying my damn bills. I was living in somebody else's house. And they said, okay, we're not renewing your damn lease. And I don't like that shit. That's a whole nother level of acceptance too. Then I got two babies looking at me. You know, because they're not allowed to do what they do at my house, at grandma's house. Because I allowed some things to go on. And I had to do some house cleaning when I moved out of there. And that made me feel real good, too. Because around here, when we clean, when we get rid of our garbage and we clean stuff up, we start feeling better. And that's right why I'm feeling so good, because I've been, like, down in the dumps. You know how when you plant a seed down in there, and you got to give it time to start working up through the dirt and the weeds and stuff start coming out, and then the flower starts blooming. And that's how I feel right now. Because it's been real burning. I was so glad to see wintertime go. I'm like, God, come on, free me up, free me up. And I freed up. I'm just real grateful to be here this weekend. And just thanks for allowing me to share.